everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi guys, welcome back to Textory. I hope you have your tea or warm beverage of choice ready. If you don't know what Textory is, we are dissecting a historical text in each episode and reacting to it. And also, if you don't know about it yet, I do have a Patreon for this podcast. So if you want to support me, head to patreon.com/textory. Let's jump right into it, babes. 1950s is a very romanticized era, I feel like. It's very interesting to me because it's not in terms of other eras of history. It's nothing special. In many ways, it's not as groundbreaking as some different eras of history are. I feel like, okay, maybe it's a hot take, but 1950s are a little overrated. But I think we romanticize them because it was such a change for people to go from World War II straight into the 1950s. And culturally, just a lot of things happened. Not really historically, but culturally, it was a revolution. And probably that's why we have so many misconceptions surrounding it. So today we will be diving into the world of 1950s comic books. When you think old comic books, you probably think like DC or like predecessors to modern Marvel movies, which is fair because most of the comics catered for men or for boys. There were a lot of like superhero, cowboy, masculine characters, but there was actually a whole section that catered primarily to girls and women and that featured female characters in the center of the comic. So first of all, we tend to think that 1950s were very sweet and innocent. And if you're one of those people that is like complaining about modern teenagers reading smut, then they did that to an extent that the law allowed. So, for example, one of the popular comics was Weird Love, and it was basically different tropes. So it would be like clown love or mail order bride. It just cracks me up whenever I try to look at the covers of those comics because they are so... So like one of the covers says, stories so weird, they should be against the law. And then it says, I fell for a commie. This is like an actual theme for a comic. And then another one is, I tortured my in-laws. So yeah, that sounds a little illegal if you ask me. There was also a comic that was called Crimes by Women, and it was exactly that. It was comics about female criminals or just women committing different crimes. So that's what they read at the time. There were some other comics that were targeted towards the younger audience. So the UK, for example, had a variety of comics that were just a girl's first name. So it would be like Judy, Diana, Penelope, Sally. But of course, most of the comics that were aimed at women were romance comics. So after the World War II, when comics were slightly declining in popularity and they were like trying out different genres, romance comics at the time really took off. I assume a lot of the readers were women because they finally had female protagonists, which was not the case before. But I don't know the actual demographics. I don't know how many boys and men read those romance comics. And judging at least by the ads that appear in those, there must have been at least some of them because otherwise they wouldn't put out the boy or men targeted ads. So the comic book that we're focusing on today is called Boy Loves Girl. It was coming out every month I'm assuming it was for teenagers or young adults. And you can't really tell that from the actual comics because the themes in the comics are actually insane. So it's like, oh no, my husband has a romance with a secretary. But you can tell from the ads and different articles in between. So there is like a walkie-talkie ad, a pimple cream. There is a cowboy costume ad. Also, though, on the other hand, there is an breast-reducing bra ad and a weight loss drug ad. So I'm assuming maybe they knew that some of grown women either read those comics for themselves or they just steal them from the children. I don't know, but I just noticed there is like a variety of ads targeting different demographics. So we are not actually reading the comics because it would be difficult to like describe each drawing after drawing, but we are focusing on a section that appeared in the comic on like a column that was about getting dating advice. So before we get into that, let me just explain to you shortly the 1950s dating culture, because again, it's not what we expect. If you have watched my videos on 1950s dating culture, you will be familiar with that. But basically, it was super casual. Everyone was dating numerous people at the same time. It was not a big deal at all to have like a boyfriend and then also see other people. You could be dating your boyfriend's friend even. But you had to ask to be polite, but it wasn't a big deal at all. If someone was like leaving town for a week to his girlfriend, he would be like, you should see other people because you're going to be bored. Because a lot of the activities in the 50s that were meant for teenagers were like couple-based. So basically, if you had no partner, you could not participate in those activities. So it was not a big deal to just see someone and do something together. It didn't have to be inherently romantic. And then going steady was when you decided to be exclusive with your partner and when you decided that you're not going to see other people. But it also varied because sometimes you would be like going steady and then the person that you're going steady with did not get the memo and they would still be like dating around. So I think what makes it a lot more casual is that a lot of those teenagers were obviously not kissing and not involved in any suspicious activities. So it was a lot lighter in terms of commitment and actually like having to be with someone because you just drank milkshakes and you just went skating. It wasn't that deep. So the column that we're reading, the title says, do you need advice? But I think the actual name for it was probably Dear Agnes Holmes, because these are all letters to Agnes Holmes. And there is a drawing of her on the first page of the column every time. And she looks like a very tired, middle-aged lady who is like silently judging you, but she's trying to be supportive. And then the intro says, this is your department, devoted to helping you solve the personal problems you write me about. The letters of greatest general interest appear here each month, and I'll try to answer personally as many of the others as I can. Oh, that's sweet. So not only does she answer the letters in the magazine, but she also writes the replies to people that ask for help. And boy, do they need help. I was trying to find some information on who Agnes Holmes actually was. I think it must have been a pseudonym because she's nowhere to be found. Not really much information about her. I only found a certain Kate Agnes Holmes who donated clippings of the articles that she wrote to newspapers to New Orleans City Archives. Maybe that's the same person because like how many Agnes Holmeses are there that used to write for newspapers? But then I don't really know. The birth date and the death date kind of add up, like she could be middle-aged around the 50s, but I'm not sure if it's actually her or if it's like a completely made-up person and was actually like one of the guys that edited the magazine, because that's also likely. We will probably never know. So I'm going to read some of the letters that Agnes Holmes got and also her replies to the letters, and a lot of them are actually wild, to put it mildly. Dear Agnes Holmes, my problem is how to meet the right kind of boys. Well, I am 18 years old and have been dating for over a year. I get introduced to a boy, we go on a date, and then the boy starts getting fresh. So getting fresh in the 1950s lingo was a boy getting too touchy with you, basically. I haven't met a boy who doesn't start to get fresh. What should I do about this, Rosie? And then Agnes Holmes, I do not particularly agree with her advice here, but here is what she said. Dear Rosie, are you sure there isn't something in your behavior that leads boys to believe that you would permit them to get fresh? I believe most boys behave in a way they think will be acceptable to the particular girl they're with. For example, if on a first date, a girl permits the boy to park on a dark street or to linger while they say goodnight, he might very well assume that the girl is giving him the go-ahead signal. Okay, but also, nah, I'd suggest you stick to group dates when you first meet a boy, that you refuse to go to questionable public places, and that you insist on being taken right home when the date is over. Then, tell the boy you've enjoyed the evening, say goodnight, and scoot into the house. It is also a good idea to accept dates with boys only after you've known them long enough to know what kind of people they are. Best wishes, Agnes Holmes. I don't necessarily agree with the first part of the advice, but the second part of the advice makes sense to just be safe and stay in public places and places that you know he's not going to try anything. And also group dates. Group dates were a massive part of the 1950s dating culture. So you'd basically go out with your friends. It could be a double date. It could be like five couples and you would go bowling. So it was a date, but at the same time, you could observe how your date interacts with other people, how your date behaves when there's other girls, which I think was also like not a bad idea. Okay, another one. Dear Agnes Holmes, I am 15 years old and have been dating a boy for 7 months. Every time I go with him, we have a fuss about going steady. I think I am too young to go steady, and so do my parents. But my boyfriend wants us to go steady. What should I do if he won't go with me unless I go steady? She signed this as worried. This is interesting because they did start dating really young. I think there is a letter here where the girl is like 13. And going steady was considered like a big step. So, for example, if the boy was already out of high school and he went with the army somewhere, he would usually be like, no, there's no point in us going steady because then you'll have to wait for me and you won't be able to have fun and go on dates. So let's do it when I'm back. Going steady was basically like a predecessor to getting engaged, which is wild to me to think that exclusive relationships were actually considered something rare and something where it's like the commitment is through the roof. And obviously it's different when someone is 15, but her advice is, dear worried, since both you and your parents feel you should not go steady, it seems to me that settles the problem. If the boy likes you, I imagine he'll want to continue seeing you on a regular dating basis without going steady. Have you explained to him that your parents object to your going steady? Even if he doesn't agree with your decision in the matter, he should certainly respect your parents' wishes. Best wishes, Agnes Holmes. This is actually wild to me that if a 15-year-old today was telling her parents that she has a boyfriend, but she also wants to see other people, they would probably be like, what the hell are you even talking about? But in this case, everyone is pressuring her to continue seeing other people and not have a steady boyfriend, which is like 180. I find it so interesting. Just the approach that they took to dating when you're young. It actually was more dangerous if your daughter had one boy that she was seeing because that could turn into something serious and that could be dangerous for her if she will try something crazy. And they did try crazy things, as you will soon hear. Dear Agnes Holmes. Okay, this is wild. I am 18 years old, a senior in high school, and in serious trouble. I hope you can help me. I was in Florida 3 months ago, and I met a perfectly wonderful boy. We fell madly in love and got married. Girl, please, be serious. I know now that I shouldn't have done it, even though he is so dreamy. This girl is down bad. My parents have never met him, and I am afraid to tell them I'm married, as I'm positive that they wouldn't consent. Yeah, no sh**. If you went to Florida, met a random guy and got married. She doesn't say how long they've been together, but I'm assuming it's probably like weeks. I, as a parent of an 18-year-old, I would be pretty worried. Do you think I should get a divorce and just call it quits? At least she's realistic about it. Please tell me what to do, as I have no one else to turn to. She signed as Troubled. Dear Troubled, aren't you being pretty unfair to your parents when you say you have no one to turn to? It's true you made a mistake by a hasty and secret marriage, but you'll be making a far greater one if you continue the secrecy and complicate it. My advice is to tell your parents the whole story now. Although they may be hurt, I'm sure they'll get things straightened out. You couldn't keep a divorce from them anyway. That's a good point. Like, if she secretly got divorced, that would probably sooner or later come to light. And they may feel it would be better for you to continue with your marriage. In any event, they're the people who know you best and are best able to help you. Very sincerely, Agnes Holmes. Judging by those replies, Agnes Holmes has a lot of faith in the parents, but I'm assuming it's also something that she had to write because parents were also checking out those comics. So if they notice that their children are reading a comic book with a column where the author is like, ditch the parents, go to the guy, live in Florida, they would probably be like, yeah, you're not reading that again. So it does seem a little like she's sucking up to the parents because she knows they might be reading it. This one is not that extreme, but in a lot of the cases, she agrees with the parents when I don't think she should. But it also could be the views of the era where, as a child, you are supposed to listen to your parents no matter what, even if they're in the wrong, even if they're not respecting you. Dear Agnes Holmes, I have been going with a boy for 6 months. I am 14 and he is 18. We like each other very much. The trouble is that he is going into the Navy soon and he doesn't think we should go steady. See, that's what I was talking about. They were like, I think you should use life a little. He says if we go steady, I won't have any fun while he is away. I think that we should go steady. What do you think? Should I take his advice or not? Diane. I wonder how much of it was him actually getting worried that she's going to be bored and how much of it was him hoping for some romance while he's away with the Navy. Dear Diane, I think your boyfriend is right. You are too young to give up the fun of dating and getting to know a number of boys. You and your boyfriend can write to each other often and spend time together whenever he is home. But you should be free to spend time with others too. Sincerely yours, Agnes Holmes. She doesn't comment anything about the age gap, so I'm assuming at the time it was not that big of a deal. Dear Agnes Holmes, I am 20 years old and would appreciate your advice on a problem I have. I am going out with a sailor a few years older than I am, and I like him very much. I know he cares a little for me too. We have both been married and divorced, and I have a son 3 years old. Now, this is actually wild to me because when you look at the statistics, it does seem like most women did not marry too young. Your 20s was sort of the norm, but then you forget that it's like the average. So actually, a lot of women went below that average. So here we have a 20-year-old woman who's already divorced and has a 3-year-old son. Assuming the son was like legitimate, so she got married at like 19 or even 18. And the guy is also divorced. And it's definitely like a cultural thing. It depended on the country at the time, but it does seem like divorce was not that big of a deal as we make it, because they do mention it a lot. And not once is Agnes Holmes like, divorce is very serious, you should consider getting back to your husband. Like, no, it's an actual option that they take into account. And here she continues saying, my problem is that he wants to go with me, but on the condition that neither of us gets too serious, please. This is from 1952, by the way. This is from 1952. Literally nothing has changed. You still get guys that want to be with you, but they're like, I don't want anything serious though. I have tried to do just that, but it's so hard, especially since I met his family again. Why are situationships so old? The guy had her meet his family while still saying that he's not looking for anything serious. Why are men like this, honestly? What can I do? I know there is no other girl. He wants to make the Navy a career. And I would even go along with that, as I love him so much. Can you help me? CK. I have to give it to Agnes Holmes here. She says exactly like my thoughts. Dear CK, anytime a man wants to go with a girl on the condition that she promised not to get serious, I think the girl should call the whole thing off then and there. Preach Agnes Holmes for the president 2030 or whatever. I will vote for her 100% because these are my exact thoughts. Like, there is just no point. And I know I said that, why are guys like this? But also, why are girls like this? Why do girls always believe that they can change him and that he's going to change his mind? But you have been going with him and you have gotten serious. The problem is, what do you do now? I think you should stop seeing him. If he really means it about not getting serious, it's better that you break it off now before you get even more deeply involved. This is literally something you would read in like modern dating advice. Time and the companionship of others are great healers, and I'm sure you will find someone else who will want to plan a future with you. This is such a read. It's like, what does it say about your man if he doesn't want to be with you? Like, be for real right now. If someone's like, I like you, but only like this much, when you can have someone that likes you fully, where is your dignity, girl? Where's your sense of justice? And she has a son too, so she definitely needs someone that is like actually serious and is going to take care of a family in an era where a woman was less able to do so. On the other hand, if he does love you, your leaving him and going out with others may make him realize how important this relationship is to him. Okay, this is like the delusion. Agnes Holmes is sadly feeding into her delusions. And I guarantee you, if CK ever read the reply, she ignored everything and just focused on the very last bit where she's like, if he really cares, you know, he's going to realize how important you are to him. But this is just one of those things where I'm like, nothing has changed. Like, dating has always been a mess. Dear Agnes Holmes, I am 14 years old and I have been liking a boy for about 2 years. I love him more than anything else in the world, but he doesn't even look at me. He is 15 years old. Some people think he likes me, but some say he doesn't. How can I let him know how much I love him? My sister says to come right out and tell him. I would, but he might laugh at me. Please tell me what to do, sissy. Honestly, story of my life, like always having secret crushes and never even giving any hints and then being like, why doesn't he like me back though? Dear sissy, although you should always be friendly to the boy and let him see you think he's very nice, do not tell him how you feel. No boy likes a girl to take the initiative and run after him. Okay. I mean... Encourage him, be friendly with other boys, and don't try to rush things. Best of luck, Agnes Holmes. I don't even know what to say because on one hand, I'm like, you know, equality. She should be able to show how she feels without having to worry that it's too much for him. But at the same time, why does it always have to be girls that make like the boy realize, like, where are their eyes? Why can't they observe their surroundings? And I mean, she's 14, so it's not that deep. It's not that serious. But why does it always have to be like, make sure he knows how you feel about him, show him little hints, blah, blah. I'm just so tired. I just don't think that's the right approach, honestly. Like, why not try and be with someone that actually cares how you feel? I don't know, maybe it's controversial. Dear Agnes Holmes, I am 21 years old and have been married for 2 years. Okay, so she got married at like, what, 19? It depends what month she... Okay, wait. 21. Yeah, that must be 19. My math is really bad. My husband is in the army and has been away for 6 months. Okay, here is some real tea. During this time, I met and fell in love with another fellow. My husband loves me, but I feel sure I love this other man. What should I do about this? And she signed as lonely, which is a little wild to me, because it's one thing to be like, you know, maybe she got married out of principle, maybe she actually fell in love with this man, but the fact that she signed as lonely just makes me think that she was just like bored and was actively looking to fall in love with someone. Maybe I'm judging, I don't know. It must be difficult to have a husband who's in the army and has been away for 6 months, but morally dubious at best. Dear Lonely, the fact that your husband is away and you are lonesome, okay, so she did pick up on that, should make you question your feelings for the man you wrote me about. It is understandable that a woman might be attracted to a man if she is separated from her husband for a long period. However, I believe that in most cases this is not love, but rather a substitute. Your husband is away doing his duty. Certainly, your duty and your loyalty to him and your marriage demand that you at least wait until he returns so you can decide what your feelings really are. I'd suggest also that you get help from your parents or from your minister. Sincerely yours, Agnes Holmes. To be fair, I don't know what kind of advice she even expected, because, like, what is she gonna say? Yeah, drop the husband, you should totally go with the other guy. Like, that's such a messed up and shady thing to do, to just be like, yeah, my husband's away serving my country, I'm just like really lonely right now. Yeah, so is he. This is probably the most serious of the replies, or like most sharp of the replies that Agnes Holmes has given so far. Dear Agnes Holmes, is it wrong for a girl to write first to a boy? I met Carl this summer while I was on vacation, and we spent lots of time together. We liked each other very much. In fact, I've never met a boy who was so much fun to be with and so nice. We went home sooner than we expected to, and I left a note with his aunt explaining that I was leaving, but I didn't leave him my address. He does not know where to write to me. Can I do anything about this? I really miss him a lot, Sally. Fair. I mean, if he doesn't have your address, I think it's fair to write first, even if it's like 1950s. Dear Sally, I don't think there's anything wrong in your writing the boy a friendly note. Or you might send him one of those cute cards that you can buy in the stores. They seem to have one to fit almost any situation. If you write him a letter, you might tell him what's been going on in your school and any other news you think should interest him. Sincerely, Agnes Holmes. I agree, this sounds really casual. A first letter or note won't hurt, and depending on his reply, you can then either correspond or just like drop it. That's, yeah, I agree. Dear Agnes Holmes, there is a little bit of trouble in my family. My father is an alcoholic, and my mother is very nervous. Every time my friends come to the house, my parents yell at them and insult them, so now they refuse to come anymore. When boys ask me out, I am ashamed to have them call for me at my house, and it doesn't make a very good impression if I meet them on a street corner. This makes me very unhappy. Won't you please help me? Desperate. That is tough. Living in an abusive household while also trying to navigate dating in the time when dating involved being in your house a lot, because even if you did not go on a date, like literally in someone's house where you would have to meet their family, you still had to pick up the girl, you still had to get the girl back to her house, and that usually involved some sort of interaction with the parents. And as she said, it's not a good impression where she's avoiding her house and she just meets people on the street corners, because then someone might think that they can take advantage of her. So that's a dangerous kind of situation. And then the answer is, dear Desperate, that is a tough problem, and one that you'll have to be very tactful about handling. Do you perhaps have an aunt or a grandmother who lives in the neighborhood? Maybe they could help you, and you could arrange to have your dates pick you up there. They may be helpful too in discussing this with your parents. Or perhaps you could have double dates and arrange for the boys to pick you up at your girlfriend's house. The only other thing I can suggest is that you talk this over with your minister, who I am sure will be able to help you. Sincerely, Agnes Holmes. I quite like the double date advice. I think it's a good advice to have a bigger group of people go on a date, so then you don't have to be picked up from your own house and you can still enjoy the benefits of a date, basically. Dear Agnes Holmes, unlike most of the people who write to you, I am a boy, and I have a problem I'd like you to help me with. A girl I like a lot wants to go with me, and I want to go with her. But she has been going steady for over a year with Jay, who is in the army, and I like both of them too much to hurt them. This is one of those insane things that would not fly in modern day. Like, can you imagine that you are allowed to date your friend's girlfriend as you are away in the army? He's saying that she likes him and he likes her, and he wants to go with her, but she's been going steady. So again, going steady was something you could just like easily break off. It was not definite. It was not that serious. You could just be like, you know what? Let's just not be steady anymore. I visit this girl frequently, but we both feel guilty because Jay knows nothing about it. He is coming home next month. Please try to figure something out for us. CG. Dear CG, I think you should wait until Jay comes home. I mean, that's solid advice. After he has been home for a while and the girl has a chance to spend time with him again, then she can decide whether she wants to continue going steady or not. A month isn't a long time, and you and the girl will both feel better if you are not doing something that makes you feel guilty. Meanwhile, why not keep yourself busy with other girls? Best wishes, Agnes Holmes. Every time the advice says, like, you should see other people, I just find it so interesting because that's definitely something that we nowadays are lamenting on. It's like the loss of exclusivity or commitment, where everyone is trying to see as many people as possible, dating numerous people at once, just not committing. And this is the actual advice that they were giving at the time. You should see other people. Why not keep yourself busy with other girls? Because then you might not have to think about this. The difference is that obviously there was a less intimate aspect to it because he was just like dating them instead of getting into whole situationships where you're like actually emotionally attached but just won't put a name on it. So I do think it was probably more healthy back then. But also, what is up with all the people that are in the army and all of their partners and spouses just texting Agnes Holmes like, "Dear Agnes Holmes, I actually don't like my husband. He's away in the army right now and I want to live. Like, what do I do?" Dear Agnes Holmes, I am in love with a boy who is 17 years old, although I am only 14. He told me that he loved me and I love him very much. But he moved to Texas a few months ago and I have written him 3 letters, but he has not answered any of them. I have been true to him and I never go with other boys, but it's hard to be faithful to a boy you never hear from. What shall I do, Miss Holmes? HH. So basically she got ghosted. What do I tell you? He was probably like, yeah, I love you. And then he moved to Texas and he just completely forgot about her and started seeing other people. Dear HH, I know this will be hard for you to accept at first, but I think you'd better forget about the boy in Texas and start going out with boys in Elko, because she's from Elko. Although I don't doubt that your boyfriend was very sincere about caring for you, I know that it's hard to continue a romance by mail. So she's basically saying that it didn't work because it's long distance. It's better that you now get friendly with a number of boys and keep yourself busy and happy with them. You're too young to give up dates because your boyfriend moved to another town. Sincerely, Agnes Holmes. So again, her advice is like, you should see other people, keep yourself busy and happy with them. You're too young to give up dates. It's interesting that dates were such an important and integral part of teenage life at the time that going steady with someone basically meant that you're giving up that huge part of life for a person. So you're probably not involved in any social activities because you decided to stick to one person. And if someone is away, that makes it even worse because you can't even participate in all the couple activities because you don't really have him near you. I do find it interesting that going steady at the time was basically kind of like, in a way, like marriage. Like, you know how people say that, oh, you know, when you get married, you can't do all the crazy stuff anymore. So this was sort of that, but in a teenage version of that. Like, as soon as you went steady, it suddenly meant that you have to be a little more grown up, I guess, because you're just not welcome to all the spaces where you would be otherwise. Dear Agnes Holmes, I'm beginning to be worried about myself. You see, I'm 18 years old and I've never been in love. All my girlfriends are, or have been, and many of them are married. I go out with boys and I like them, but I've never felt that certain special something the other girls have. Why is it other girls my age have been in love several times and not me? Is there something wrong with me? Worried. It's actually crazy to me how she, at the ripe age of 18, was already feeling such a pressure because she had a lot of friends that were already married. And that was probably like a domino effect. If a girl in your neighborhood or in your social circle got married at 18, you suddenly felt the pressure to not even get married soon, but have a partner, because otherwise you're staying behind. And I can imagine this to be the case, especially in like smaller communities. And then the answer is, dear worried, I'm sure there is not a thing wrong with you. Some girls fall in love at an earlier age than others, and they're both perfectly normal. And many girls who think they've been in love before will find that it wasn't anything more than a crush. That is actually very true, especially when you're a teenager. Everything you feels so much more dramatic than it actually is. And then years later, you're like, why was I romanticizing a guy I've actually never met and I thought we're going to get married one day? You go on enjoying the friendship you feel for boys and be patient. Someday you'll meet the boy. You'll love him deeply and you'll wonder why you ever worried about it. Good luck, Agnes Holmes. I generally feel like love is kind of like a spectrum. So people will feel what you feel and call it a complete different thing. For example, what you will call a crush, someone will be like, I'm so in love. And then someone will say that they're in love, but then you hear the details of their relationship and you're like, that's not love. So it's definitely something completely personal. And when you're a teenager, you tend to compare yourself a lot to other people. So there is also that. And I quite like her answer, where it's like, don't stress out, don't rush it. If it happens, it happens. However, in the back of my head, I'm always like, what if she's gay? What if she's asexual? That's going to be a little more problematic to figure out later on because it's the 1950s, but I guess we'll never know. Dear Agnes Holmes, I am one of your many fans who needs your advice. You see, I am still in love with my ex-fiancé. I have been told that he misses me too. We see each other quite often and speak. He comes to my house to see my family when he knows I am not home. So this all sounds grand, right? Oh, you know, they broke up, but he's still in love with her. First of all, why are they in contact so much? Second of all, this is what she later says. He is infatuated by my girlfriend, but I know for a fact that she doesn't like him except as a friend. I think he flirts with her to spite and hurt me. Nothing about this whole situation sounds healthy to me, I'll be honest. How can I get him to ask me out? He doesn't like parties, so therefore he wouldn't come if I invited him to one. Any advice that you can offer will be appreciated. I.E. Dear I.E. First, if you and your boy broke up because of an argument, and if you feel you were wrong in any way, maybe an apology would help clear things up. Next, be sure you're always friendly and interested when you do see your ex-boyfriend. If he does miss you, any encouragement you give him will help. But I do think it's important, guess what she's going to say, that you be seeing other boys. And then she gives the most toxic piece of advice ever, because she says, it may make your ex-boyfriend more anxious to come back to see you and it'll keep you from being lonesome now. So she's basically like, what if you try to make him jealous? Maybe that's going to work. Best wishes, Agnes Holmes, the toxic queen that she is. So that's her advice. Dear Agnes Holmes, I am 14 and I'm not popular at all. I don't have any friends and I'd like to meet some. I just don't know what's wrong with me. I'm not ugly and I think I dress as nicely as the other girls in school. Mrs. Holmes, I do wish you would give me some advice because the other girls have fun doing things together and I don't. HN. Oh, I do feel for her. This is so sad. Dear HN, the first step in getting others to like you is to like them and show it. You have to be willing to meet people more than halfway, to smile, to act friendly, to be interested in them. Another thing is to become active in school and church. Volunteer to work on school projects, join one or more of the clubs, and really work at them. This will get you in with groups of other boys and girls with common interests. Try it, and I'm sure you'll find it's easy to have friends, if you're willing to be one. Sincerely, Agnes Holmes. I think that's pretty good advice. Like, if you don't happen to be in spaces where there is people and you need to interact with them, it's really difficult to make friends. But if you put yourself out there, no matter how difficult it's going to be, you will interact with people and, you know, maybe one of them will actually like you. I don't know. It's actually, it's definitely difficult to make friends, especially if you're maybe not neurotypical. So I'm not saying it's like as simple as just going somewhere, but for the 1950s, that's solid advice. Like, she's not going to go on Tumblr and have a fan account and then make friends that way. So this was probably the better solution. Dear Agnes Holmes, okay, this is again wild to think about. I am 17 and have been married for 8 months. My husband is 19 and we are now separated. Oh my God, who would have thought? How did that happen? Getting married at 17. Interesting. He stays with his parents and I live with mine. He is working, but his mother doesn't want him to give me any money. I was told I could take him to court to make him support me, but rather than go through all that embarrassment, I thought it was better to talk to him about it. But I can't seem to get any place with him, and I don't know what to do. I love him very much, and I'm very hurt by his attitude. I wish we could work something out. What is your advice? NR. I think it is very telling that a girl aged 17 is more mature about it than a 19-year-old boy. Dear Anne, I think you should discuss your problem with the family counseling service. Since you still love your husband, perhaps they can help you become reconciled with him. The people at Family Counseling Service are trained to help people who have marriage problems and have had lots of experience dealing with such matters. If you don't know how to get in touch with this organization, call your city welfare department and ask them to refer you. Best wishes, Agnes Holmes. So basically, marriage therapy, but make it 1950s, I guess. Dear Agnes Holmes, I am going on 15 years old and my fiancé is going on 18. What is up with all those weird age gaps? He ran away from home and got a job. When he got enough money, he sent for me and said he'd gotten a room for us. I know at the time that my mother wouldn't approve of my going where he was, so there wasn't anything for me to do but go on my own. So that night, I ran off. My boyfriend met me at the station and we went to where we had a room. I've been here now for 3 days, but he seems to have changed. He has gotten kind of mean and keeps talking about joining the Air Force. This is actually really bad because it makes me think of all those situations where after the boy gets what he wants, he just completely disrespects you all of a sudden. And this sounds like one of those situations because she did stay with him. So I'm assuming things happened. I'm terribly worried now. I keep thinking of what I have done. My mother always said when we once leave home, we can never come back. I had everything at home a girl could possibly want. A good home, enough clothes, everything. I'm sorry for what I did, and I'll never do anything wrong again. Please help me. This problem is nearly driving me crazy. MD. And then the answer is, Dear MD, as you know, I answered your letter personally, but I wanted to run it in the magazine too, because I think it's important that other girls read it and maybe learn something from it. I get so many letters from girls telling me they want to do something of which their parents do not approve, and for good reasons, so they think they'll take matters in their own hands and do them secretly. You've now learned that your mother had your best interests at heart, that she would have been right not to let you leave home and not to go to your boyfriend. Girls your age are not old enough, not mature enough to decide about love and marriage by yourselves. MD. I'm sorry you've had to suffer for it, but that's the way it usually works out. However, it's still not too late. As I told you in my letter, I think you should immediately go home and tell your mother the whole story. Although she may be hurt and angry, I'm sure she'll take you back and help you get things straightened out. But don't make matters worse by delaying. Your place is at home with your family. Good luck, Agnes Holmes. So a reminder that she is 15 years old. And she ran away with an older boyfriend who got a job. And now she's worried she's not going to be able to come back home. And I'm just thinking about all of the situations where that has happened, where the boyfriend was abusive or just not as they expected. And then the pass back home was already like cut off because the parents would just not accept them back. And I genuinely don't know what happened to them in those situations. I just don't know. Dear Agnes Holmes, I have been married and my guardian had it annulled when I was 15. That's wild, actually. Now I am 18 and I have met another fellow whom I like very much. I have tried going back to my ex-husband. The other fellow knows all about this. I don't want to hurt either one of them, for they are both swell fellows. They both want to settle down and I want that too. This has been going on for over a year and I would like very much to know what to do. Please give me your advice since I have no mother to confide in. S.A. These are all kids. Why do they all want to settle down at 18? Dear S.A., although I can understand your desire to be married and to settle down. Okay, why? I could be Agnes Holmes. Let's just admit it. I literally notice the things that she notices in those letters, and I probably would give similar advice in some cases. Although I can understand your desire to be married and to settle down, you should not make any decision about it until you're sure you've chosen the one man whom you really love. As long as you're undecided, I think you should continue seeing both your ex-husband and the other men you like. And others too, if you wish. Go polyamorous queen Agnes Holmes. Let them know that you're not ready to make any serious decisions and be patient. You won't be hurting either man's feelings if you're honest with both of them and let them know just what the situation is. Good luck, Agnes Holmes. This is, I suppose, one of the things about seeing multiple people at once is this sort of lack of clarity that you have when it comes to your own feelings, because you can like multiple people at once and you will keep comparing them to the other ones and it might make any sort of commitment or decisions more difficult. And I think that's also something that we deal with in the nowadays dating world, where you just have too many options. And it's just much easier to pick on something that someone does or the way they behave when you know that you have like 100 other people lined up. Okay, this one is, again, the thing about how casual it all was. So listen, dear Agnes Holmes, my girlfriend Sarah and I have been going steady for almost a year. So it's gotta be a boy because it's 1950s. We're both 16 years old and I think we're in love. Although we know we're too young to make any kind of plans for marriage now. We both plan on going through college. 2 weeks ago, I broke my ankle in two places and was in the hospital. I have to wear a cast and the doctor says it will take a long time before I can get around very much. Sarah comes to my house to visit me every day and has been just swell to me. I don't want to tie her down and keep her from having fun with our gang. And I told her she ought to go with other boys while I'm laid up. So again, he's like, girl, I don't want you to miss out on fun for 2 weeks, so you should see other people even though we're in love. I teased her about going with a boy we know who likes her. She got very hurt and cried and said I didn't want to go steady with her and was using this for an excuse. It's not true, Miss Holmes, but I can't make her believe it. What can I do about that, Jack? Honestly, it doesn't sound good. I mean, I know his intentions were good, but it sounds like he's just like encouraging her to see other people because he doesn't want to actually be with her. Dear Jack, since Sarah feels so strongly about not wanting to go with anyone else, I think you'd better drop the subject. It may be more important to her to be with you than to go to dances or parties without you. Fair. If some social gathering should be mentioned, you might casually tell Sarah that if she wants to go, you'll understand it perfectly. But don't insist on it. Maybe you can make your convalescence easier on both of you if you occasionally ask a group of friends over to spend an afternoon or evening with you. And I imagine you'll be permitted to get around with crutches or a cane soon, so you and Sarah can join in some of your gang's activities. But again, it's this idea of if your boyfriend's at home, you're not allowed to take part in social gatherings or activities because you're single is just absolutely weird to me. That it's better for him to allow her to see other people because otherwise she would just be stuck at home. It's just so bizarre. Okay, this one was the last of it. There is many more, but this episode is already getting a little too long, so I'm going to stop right here. And I think that's it. I don't think there is anything else to say. A weird culture for sure. A weird culture and a surprisingly big amount of underage marriages, I would say, or like teenage marriages, which I know there is a stereotype of it happening a lot, but I didn't know how true it was. I don't know if that's like statistically accurate. Maybe they just picked all the shocking cases for the letters to sound more dramatic, but it definitely happened a lot more than it did nowadays, because if you had a column like this nowadays, you probably would not get a single letter from someone who's married at 18. I guarantee you. So I just find it really interesting. And again, the whole casual aspect of it is, it always shocks me because it's so different to how we see it nowadays. And at the same time, it's so similar in some ways. I don't know. I just find it so interesting. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and I'll hear you in another one. Thank you. And don't forget to check out my Patreon at patreon.com/text3. Bye.